I'd like to read a verse from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. And the verse is this, quoting the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." God with us. Emmanuel, a name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a question tonight based on that. Is God with you? Is he? Is God with you? And I take that from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Now my first heading in opening up this subject to us tonight runs as follows. And all the headings are questions, as is the main heading. And so my first heading, which is a question, runs like this. Is there a God who could be with us? Is there a God out there who could actually be with us? Is such a thing possible? Conceivable? Or is it really a fantasy? Well, there are some, aren't there? Whether you're one of them, but there are some who would say, it's impossible. God with us? Oh, no. We exclude that from our thinking right at the beginning. And these people, their system of thought, we might say, are atheists. In truth, there are not that many of them in the world, but there are some. And they would flatly deny the existence of God. God with us? Well, nice writing, nice try. But we know only too well there is no God, so there can't be a God with us. And they rather jokingly would say that people might just as well say, well, the tooth fairy's with us, or the spaghetti monster is with us. They're all on the same level, all on par with each other, non-existent beings that we kind of invent to somehow get us along, find meaning in life, that sort of thing. Well, some people say that, don't they? Most people, however, wouldn't say that. Most people would say, wait a moment. No, just wait a moment. We think there is someone, somewhere with us. That we're not on our own. That there is, well, God, yes, let's call him that for want of a better expression, with us. Such people may be self-styled Gnostics or have some title like that to call themselves by. But basically they're saying, well, even if we can't be sure and certain, we're not giving up on the idea that somewhere there is a God. And that somehow saying God with us might actually be a meaningful statement after all. Now don't press us, don't ask too many questions of us, but we've not given up on the idea that there may be some reality to such a statement as God with us. Well, some people, in fact many people, would say, actually, we've got some ideas about this. We have some insight into who this God with us might actually be. Some people would say, it's aliens. The aliens are with us. We haven't seen them yet, but they're out there, up there, flying about or hanging about, whatever they're doing, but they are with us. They are out there somewhere, aliens with us. It's only a matter of time. They'll find us or we'll find them. We don't know what they'll look like. We don't know, even if in a sense, they'll be very kind to us. And they might be really quite disparaging of us and think us very primitive. Well, it may be that they'll help us upgrade, or they may just keep us in our subject state and we'll just have to learn to live with it. But they're aliens with us. There was a news item I saw which said, you know, hope of finding alien life rises. Why? Well, because some great telescope found more stars. More stars than we'd realised were there. That means more potential places where aliens might be So they'd say the probability is we're more likely to find aliens because we've found more stars on which they might be living. Other people would say, angels with us. Angels. Might not be quite what we understand from the Bible to be angels, but angels. Unseen and with us, helping us. We can pray to them, and they guide us at key moments in life. And you can do workshops, perhaps, and tap into the angel world and get their help and get their encouragement and find your future from them. Yes, angels with us. Others say, goddesses with us. Goddesses. Nature. Kind of goddess there in nature. Living and nurturing, giving birth and moving the world on. Her maternal care, directing the affairs of the world, unseen, but in such tender ways, and guiding us on to our destiny. Some people might say, well, that destiny is that we all reach a kind of consciousness together, and of a oneness with nature and with ourselves and with everybody in the world. It might be that we're all kind of unified by Mother Nature, a kind of benevolent goddess, yes? She lets her presence be known, sends a few kind of earthquakes here and there, and if we're getting it wrong and overstretching ourselves and being too greedy, she'll check our progress on that side. But yes, goddesses with us. What about the God of the Bible being with us? What about that? How does that fit? Well, not too well for many people. Virgin birth? Ooh, that's hard to believe. Miracles that this Jesus Christ grew up to do and perform? We struggle a bit with that. God of holiness and justice, and who will require an accounting of us? Not so pleased with that. Not so sure about it. And some of the people most unsure about the God of the Bible, and I don't say this by way of mockery or anything of that nature, but actually church leaders. Church leaders can be often those who are most at pains to say to you, yes, God's with us, but don't worry too much. Don't worry by what you find in the Bible, about his high standards and of his demands and of these things that you hear about from time to time, like heaven and hell. Don't worry. Don't panic. We think we understand him. And really, he's very comfortable to be with and really awfully nice. And you won't find him too much of a problem. And he promises he won't get in the way too much. In fact, rather, he's here to help us reach fulfillment. Or the media. Well, the media don't disbelieve in God. But again, they're not so sure about the God of the Bible. And they might say, yes, you know, kind of ritual, bit of activity, and boy, a bit sad people here. We've no smells to waft at you here, or bells to ring at you here. And that's a bit disappointing, they might say. But yes, something, here's a word, numinous, otherworldly. Catch a bit of a frisson that there's another world out there. There's a kind of God somewhere, and that is quite exciting. And so they would have us experience awe and wonder of a kind. Ah, yes. That, they would say, is the kind of God who is with us. But I come back again to this. Yes, but what about the God of this book? What about the God who speaks to us from this book? What about him? Isn't he with us? I'd like to suggest, actually, very briefly, there are some evidences, and very good evidences, that he is. Oh, well, think about those stars. Think about that world that's out there. Count the stars if you can. And there's NASA, or whoever it was, with their telescope sort of looking. Whoa, we've found some more. And I tell you what, well, I won't predict whether it's next week or next month, but they'll find a few more still. And then once they've found those, they'll get a bigger telescope. I tell you what, they'll find more yet. And they'll just keep finding them and keep finding them. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. There's no end to him. There's no place where you can say, got him. He's more still than we imagined, and his world is greater than we'd considered it. And our sense of wonder, if we've got a powerful enough telescope, we'll just keep growing and growing and growing. And he's given us some evidences that he is here, God with us, in this world that he's made. But I'd also like to suggest this, that you and I, yes, you and I, we are evidence as well that God is with us. I want to think of us at our best for a moment. Do you feel a sense of injustice? Do you feel at times the world just is not fair? And do you find in your heart a rising up that you want to do something about that? Well, that's a good description of the God of the Bible. He's a God of justice. A God who does not love the prospering of the wicked. A God who does not delight in the works of the wicked. Oh, I tell you, whatever we feel by way of anger and wrath about evil in the world, he feels much more that. And whatever we might feel about injustice to the poor or injustice against people and tribes or whoever it might be that governments come down upon for no other reason than their skin colour's wrong or they talk the wrong language or they live in the wrong place. God feels more that injustice still. So we read in the Bible we're made in the image of God and wonder at that. That some of our, I might say, better instincts and better desires are there in the God described in the Bible. Yes, the Bible. Not the aliens, the goddesses, not in the minds of church leaders saying, wait a moment, God doesn't punish, he doesn't do that thing. Oh, he does, it says here. And many of us feel at times, a lot of people get punished for their wickedness. God feels that too. What about love? Love. How we value love, and how we value mercy, and love forgiveness, and love people who show a forgiving spirit and are not embittered. Well, I tell you who loves mercy more than you and me, and loves to forgive far more deeply than ever we can, and that's God. And we say to ourselves, well, we're made in the image of God, we're going to reflect something of him, because the Bible tells us this, and we find ourselves loving love. We don't always love as we should, that's a fact, but we love and think mercy and love and forgiveness are good things, and hate selfishness and deplore it in other people. Less quick to deplore it in ourselves, mind, but we deplore it in other people, and we find that he does that as well. Yes? Well, isn't that interesting? God with us, and we can even find evidence in ourselves which reflects what we find in the Bible. Because God delights in mercy. Because God is a God of extraordinary love and patience and long-suffering. So, is there a God who could be with us? Well, I would say yes, there is. And it's the God of the Bible. Now my second question. But isn't God with me anyway? I mean, isn't it just a fact of life that he's with me anyway? In a positive sense, as a helper and an unseen friend. Didn't I just come into this world and there he was and he's just been guiding my life invisibly there, and just every so often he kind of does something that sort of encourages me. I don't understand too much, but he's just there, isn't he? So really, in a way, it's quite unremarkable, isn't it? That now, the sending of Jesus Christ is significant because it's God with us. You might say, well, he's always been with us, hasn't he? I mean, we're born in his favour. And we're born just as people who he loves and he's fond of and he's watching over us. And that's nice and it's fine. So why is this so significant now? That the coming of God's Son, Jesus Christ, has God with us, attached to him. I want to try to disturb you. Let me try. Because the thing is this. In a way, God isn't with us. God is against us. In a way, a fundamental truth that we need to grasp, in order to grasp this truth, God with us, is that we don't begin with God with us. We begin with God against us. That God does not look upon us as friends of his, but rebels. And he doesn't look on us as allies in his cause, but as those who are fighting against his cause. And he doesn't look at our desire for justice and our approving of love and think, ah, there are people who are on the wavelength with me. I can do something with these. He sees our best efforts at love and our best efforts to show justice as wholly inadequate, total failure, in fact. Because even at our best, our efforts still are marred by sin. And sin God is against. Even a small amount, even what we might excuse in ourselves as peccadilloes, moments of madness, eccentricities and oddities of whatever it might be. Ah, but God looks on those things and declares them to be sin, and declares those things to be something that in his justice he is implacably opposed to, and that he will not regard as friends those who oppose him by bringing even a measure of sin before him. Oh, he's against us. He's against our sin. And the fact is, and I once sailed along merrily in life myself, feeling as though God was with me, until one day I had a rude awakening, and he had to teach me I'm not, and that I was offending him, and that my works were not taking me toward him, nor gaining approval from him, but his disapproval, and that I was in a most dangerous place, and in a most difficult place. God does not take pleasure in us, dear friends, as we are. Our sins separate us from our God. So, to ask the question, almost with a shrug of the shoulders, well, isn't God with us anyway? What's remarkable about this, then? I want to suggest this is very remarkable, because by nature, God is against us. So my third question, with which I finish. How can I know God with me? If it's true, firstly, there is this God, and he is the God of the Bible. If it's true that it isn't actually something to take for granted that he's with us, but something we need to learn because he's actually begins out against us, how then can I know him? How can I have God with me? How can the situation change around so that instead of God against me and me against him because of my sin and his holiness and his justice forbidding me an approach to him, how can that change for me? How can I find myself in a better position and in his love and favour? And I want to answer that briefly with two parts. Firstly, this. You need to rethink who you are and where you stand. You need to rethink it. And the Bible word for that is repentance. You need to see things differently. See yourself differently. You need to see, and it is the most difficult thing for us to see, and God needs to help us to see this, what I've just been explaining to you, that God's against us. Because so much within us rises up and says, I don't like that. Huh, what do you mean? He's against me. I'm a decent person. I'm a good person. My neighbours, my friends think well of me. Well, I'm glad they do. But it still isn't sufficient for God. And we have to rethink our position and be prepared to admit that our position is not a favoured one and a blessed one before God. And to accept that God's verdict from his position of perfect holiness is always going to be far beyond anything we could ever supply to him, beyond any works we could do, any attitudes and motives that we could maintain for any length of time, impossible, and that we must surrender and admit our defeat, and that the condemnation that he will bring against us on the day of judgment is a just one and a right one. And that is very hard to swallow. That is very hard to take, dear friends. Our own nature, and I'm afraid it's our sin, rebels against it. And we'll say, not so, not so. You mustn't think these negative thoughts or entertain such low views of yourself. Or if you will enter the kingdom of heaven, you must humble yourself like a little child and hear at times what is difficult news and troubling news and disturbing news if you are to find his blessing. So reorganize your thinking. Change how you view yourself. Change how you view God. All too easily we think that God is altogether like us, that he'll put up with us and tolerate us as we are. There's a sort of unconditional love that will just meet with us in any place at any time and will just waft us to heaven.
Think of his holiness, if you can. Think of his justice, if you can. I'm afraid I can't. I can't adequately convey it to you. It's too high. It's too powerful. It's too pure. He's too excellent. And we, whatever we grasp of his holiness, when we see him on that day, we'll have to admit, we only knew but a part of his glorious, wonderful purity and excellence. So you need to rethink who you are and where you stand. You need to rethink who God is, this God who is with us. And then, and this is my final point within my third heading here, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in him. You must trust in him. In what I've painted here by way of our position, which is rather grim news at Christmas, rather sad news, you might think. Yes, but good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. And here are the good tidings of great joy, that God is not going to leave you and me defeated, lost sinners, rebels that are completely out of order, undeserving of heaven, deserving instead of condemnation. He has sent his Son. Sent him to be a saviour. Sent him to save people like you and people like me from our sins. And what he asks of you and instructs you to do, not go on a pilgrimage to the ends of the world, not crawl on your belly for 5 miles, not fast for the next month, and deny yourself all that Christmas turkey or some such act of self-denial. He's not asked of you, summon up the effort of will. You'll never do it. He asks you instead, believe in my Son. If you see a need and recognize yourself as against God, and undeserving of his favor, then believe in my Son. Why have I sent him? Because you need him. Why has he come? Because else you cannot be saved. Think, he came, the infinitely glorious and eternal God, who has no beginning, no end. You can't box him in or say, well, he's in this place here and not here. He is everywhere, all-knowing and all-powerful. Has also now constricted himself, the being also man, has allowed, permitted it to be known that he now is also a man, the God-man, perfect and sinless, yes, but a man, flesh and blood. And in that flesh and with that blood, he is going to offer himself a sacrifice for sin, that all the enmity of our own sinful hearts, he will answer for it. And our rebellion and our breaking of the law, he will answer for it. And the death we deserve, the condemnation that will come, he will be condemned upon the cross. And he will die there, in that flesh, in that body of clay. And in that own, his own human soul, in his own human spirit there, bear wrath and condemnation so as to be a substitute for others who are made of flesh and blood. And in this, God speaks to us through his Son, says, you are those who I favour. I give my Son. I say, look, all, any who will look. God with you, my Son, given for your sin, my own precious and elect one, whom I give for the life of the world. Believe in him. Trust in him. Give up your sin. Forget any other road to heaven. Look to him and be saved. He's with us. He's with us now. He's with us in this gospel. He's with us if we have ears to hear and believe in him. God has shown us in principle, I am with you to save if you will believe. I give you my Son as that pledge and as that way of salvation if you will believe. And if you will believe, and if you will trust, and if you will follow him, oh, you will have God with you all the days of your life. You will. It will be true of you that God is with me. I have a counselor and a friend. I have an advocate in heaven at God's right hand on high. who helps me, and who can bless my life, direct me, and encourage me, and teach me. Oh, to have God with you. How precious. Oh, when I consider what it was to be without God, and what it is now to be with God. One would never wish to exchange one's place. One would never wish to go back. One would never wish to be there again. And I urge you, dear friend, I urge you now, consider where you are, and then consider Jesus Christ. Consider yourself without God, oh, but consider that Jesus Christ is given to you that you might be with him. Have his friendship. Have heaven as an inheritance to come, that whatever time he may call you away, whatever time he may summon you before him, you'll be able to stand. Because now, in this life, today, the day of salvation, you said, yes, I need him. Yes, I want God with me. Yes, I need a Saviour. Oh, let me believe in him. And surely, we don't look there for knowledge of all the Bible before you can come. Or theology that will get you a distinction in Greek before you can come. But to see your need and to come. And to trust in the Son of God who saves to the uttermost. God with us. Christmas comes but once a year. And so too the hearing of the gospel can come but once a year. Lay hold of Christ today. Believe in him now. That you may have eternal life, and on into heaven, you will have God with you. May the Lord bless all of us this night, and grant us his peace. Amen.